Hello there, and welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell is somewhere covering a game. I think he's in Marblehead, but I'm not sure, so I'm not going to say where I think he might be, although I just did. And we've got our usual eclectic lineup here this evening, and hope that you will enjoy it and pass the word along by letting people know about it. You could also email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Tell us what you think, or if you have any ideas as to how we can do better with covering the sports in the area. And that's mainly what we do. We cover sports in the area primarily with interviews on this Monday night. And, of course, Bill Newell keeping up with scores and interviews and features and all kinds of information every single day on MSO News Sports. We're not just a sports website, though, but this is a sports show. How are ya?
Are you talking to me?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to bring up the PGA site.
Well, you know, there's a computer right in front of you. You know?
Well, you've got stuff up there, and I don't want to mess it up.
You don't got to mess it up. Open up a new tab.
Nope.
Oh, my Cheez-Its.
Yeah, well, you've yelled at me before, so I'm trying to avoid
I haven't yelled at you for my computer. I yell at you because you're late, because you're lazy. I yell at you because I don't yell at you, do I?
I'm bigger than you. You better not.
you're much, yes, you're taller. Broader shoulders. Yeah, you're way bigger than I am.
That's limited to that. I'm taller than you are.
I can probably scoot faster, though.
Well, that's what I used to tell my students. If you run, I can't catch you. But if you're within arm's reach,
that's right.
I got you.
I thought that was true of all big guys in my speed till I saw Ben Watson. Remember that play he made for the Patriots a long time ago?
Yeah, in the playoffs.
10 or 15 years ago.
Denver.
Passed to the end zone, intercepted at the one-yard line or at the goal line.
Yeah.
Watson chased a guy down at the one, a defensive back. That was the 99 yards.
It was a kid from Michigan, the All-Pro. He's in the Hall of Fame.
He's the guy who beat him in Green Bay when he was in Green Bay?
And no. You're thinking of Desmond Howard. No, this is Howard was a special teams player. This is the he was the number one draft choice. He was a defensive back.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
And he ended up playing for Denver, and he got done on the 5-yard line. And Watson was on the other side of the field.
And going the other way.
Interception took place.
Yeah.
And he just picked out an intercept line. And at full bore, the name went through my head. And he hits the guy full bore, and he drives him out of bounds.
And the ball, the ball went loose, but it went out of bounds, as I remember.
Right? And I was like, everybody was just amazed because he came out of nowhere.
That was, and oh you think God. About the size of him. I mean, he's 6'6", 6'7", and he, 260, and he ran down a defensive back. That was unbelievable. 99 yards he chased that sucker.
And he probably ran further because of the diagonal that he ran.
That's like the one play, the play that sticks out most in my mind of Larry Bird. You've seen it, where he shoots from, I don't know if it was a three-point line, but it looked like the three-point arc. The ball goes off the rim. As soon as he shoots it, he heads to the basket.
Right.
He gets the rebound in his right hand while he's in the air, going into the end line. While he's in the air, he catches in the right hand, still in midair, gives it over to his left hand, shoots it left hand, and it goes in. Oh, my word. Yeah. And the other one with the behind-the-back basket, and he's still on the court.
There was one game. He was so bored.
He played left-handed.
He said, "I'm going to play left-handed. I'm going to take every shot left-handed."
Yeah.
And he did layups.
He said, "I want
dunks,
to save. I want to save myself
shots.
For Los Angeles.
Yeah,
I want to save myself for the Lakers." Yeah.
You know what player? What player?
Everything he did was left-handed.
Himself to do.
And he scored 40 points.
And he scored 42 points that night. Is ridiculous. Left-handed, wrong hand. But that shows you just how hard he worked on his game.
Yeah.
On his offhand.
Unbelievable. Well, Bill Newell is at Marblehead, and we'll be checking with Bill later on basketball, the basketball tournament. We've got a couple of hockey coaches that we'll be talking with tonight. Big, big game tomorrow up in Chelmsford as it's the battle of the battle of the year in the Cape Ann League for the Division to have the right to go to the Division II North Finals next Monday. Andrew Jackson's Masconomet Chieftains against Ryan Sheenan's Triton Vikings. And we'll be talking with both Coach Jackson and Coach Sheehan tonight. Good Lord, one on the creek don't rise. We'll be checking in with Gary Larrabee, as we always do. And Tim is rapidly trying to brush up on his golf here.
Well, you know, I did this at home earlier, and I was looking at the results of the Honda Classic this past weekend, and Gary mentioned, you know, the Korean winner. But I'm looking down through 67th place, and there's like two familiar names from the American Tour, and it's not till you get to the cut line, and local, where is he? He's coming up here. Patrick Harris. There he is. Rob Oppenheimer missed the cut at six over. But listen to the guys that missed the cut at six over. Jim Furyk, Keegan Bradley, Justin Rose, Patrick Harrington, Rob. And I mean, like, these are all huge names from the tour. Brooks Koepka was a plus eight. Rob beat Bruce Brooks Koepka this weekend. All right, and Erik von Runyon, Vijay Singh, Louis Oosthuizen. I mean, he might not have made the cut, but you had better scores than all these big winners.
And who won the senior men's golf tournament this weekend?
Is that the he mentioned the German
Bernhard Langer.
That's
well, he is so cool. He is the coolest guy.
Yeah, he is so understated.
Yeah,
and he just goes out there and he kills it week after week during the year. He's so consistent in everything he does, and you watch him over the years, and he's the same on Thursday as same on Sunday as he is on Thursday. He's the same in every single golf tournament, and he's played that way on the Champions
Tour. Sort of like you and I in the classroom.
I'm very calm.
Mellow. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with Masconomet hockey coach Andrew Jackson. This is North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night.
Take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com.
All right, we're back now with Masconomet High School hockey coach Andrew Jackson. Coach, a couple of wins since we talked last, and a gigantic game coming up tomorrow. Just a great time for Masconomet hockey.
Yeah, no, I'm thankful we get to talk again, you know?
we'd have called you if you lost.
Yeah, that's all right. Definitely.
I appreciate you having us again, and it's exciting. It's good for our league, too, you know? We got two teams in the Final Four in the North. It's pretty awesome.
I want to get to that because Gloucester and Danvers both gave Lincoln Sudbury a scare, and we can talk about that later. But tell me a little bit about your games, because a couple of really tough, good games that you guys had in the last week.
Yeah. as soon as we saw the draw, I was like, I told you, throw the bracket out and just play one game at a time. Stoneham. Very physical, very fast, very competitive, and, you know, really pushed us. You know, we were opportunistic on a couple of our scoring opportunities, And our goalie, Tucker Hansen, was just tremendous. And our whole defensive core did a really good job neutralizing them. Coming through the neutral zone, they like to launch pucks up and flip pucks and, you know, try and create some confusion. And I thought our D and our, you know, especially our back-checking forwards did a really good job. And then as far as the Boston Latin game, I mean, quite honestly, they carried play for long stretches during that game, and Tucker had a, you know, a kind of a career game as far as number of saves. I think he had 42 saves, and our penalty killing was really, really strong. So our overall commitment to D has really amped up blocking shots. I mean, Trevor Carrier saved the wide-open net goal with a block diving out. So, I mean, we just got a lot of guys really committing to not only defense, but just sacrificing their bodies to win.
Coach, the last four or five games have been so close, every single one of them. And, you know, now that you're in the tournament, of course, it's a one-loss deal, and the team is eliminated who loses. Do the kids, or do you as a coach, what are you seeing with these kids? Because you mentioned the defensive intensity. Is it something that they've maintained all year, or is it something that it steps up, they play with more urgency? You can't be more careful, I wouldn't think. You still have to be aggressive.
Right, yeah. You don't want to, you know, sit back and hopefully, you know, the puck doesn't bounce bad on you, or, you know, hope to, you know, maybe not whiff on a puck or something. So I think we're still playing on our toes, which is nice. But, you know, there's just like a little more focus on every touch, whether it's getting it out of the zone, getting it in the zone, getting it on net. And, you know, I was listening to the radio today and they were talking about the Bruins and how they've just been kind of consistent all year. They've had dips every here and there, just like we have. But, the overall, you know, mindset and execution has been there. So, I'm really proud of our guys, you know, for just being that steady. You know, high school kids, you know, it's an emotional game, and, you know, we got 16-year-old boys, older, younger, and emotions can run wild, but I'm really proud of this group as far as, you know, just really staying steady and always bringing the effort every night.
Coach, kind of a goofy question, I guess, maybe in a way, but you talked about Stoneham liking to, you know, just flip the puck into the zone. You probably saw that on film. Do you talk to the kids about that, and do you do like any kind of a drill where they're skating backwards and, you know, playing on the defense, and do you look to swat the pucks with the hands? You know they're going to flip, and so do you sort of anticipate and look to swat the puck down so it doesn't get behind you and give them a chance to go forward?
Right. It is kind of hard to recreate that because usually there's like a forward flying at you too, so. I remember earlier in the year we tried recreating a drill where, you know, we'd flip it up and kind of give the D pressure. And I mean, more so I want them to either, you know, if they know they can get it in the air, go grab it. And, you know, I don't care if it's a hand pass or whatever, just keep it moving forward. And if they think that they're kind of in between bounces, you know, almost like a short hopper on outfield, kind of back up on it and just keep it in front of you however you can. Or if you know it's going to get by you, just turn and go get it. It's a tough spot to be in sometimes as a defenseman, especially when there's someone bearing down on you.
Yeah.
Our guys have done a good job. I don't think we haven't given, I don't know, we've given up very few breakaways or, you know, 2-on-0s or anything crazy like that. So, it's kind of a commitment, you know, a commitment our D have made of not over pursuing and just playing it smart. But it is tough. Because honestly, a lot of the D1 teams seem to do it. Like Melrose did it. Westford kind of does it, stretches the ice. And, you know, maybe it's those D1 games are just so much more competitive that everyone's looking for the edge. So who knows? It might come down to that tomorrow in our game, you know?
You know, one of the things, too, you mentioned that the kid's willing to sacrifice the body. That's kind of a contagious aspect of the game when the kids are on the ice and they see their teammate, you know, giving it up, doing a slide to block a shot, whether or not they know that the net's empty, the goalie's out of position. You know, I always think back to the Bruins of the 60s, early 70s, you know, when you had Don Ari and Doak and Dallas Smith and even Bobby Orr. Bobby you, you know, would go sliding. And these guys, you know, no mask, no helmets on, no nothing. And they were just sacrificing left and right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we say. Like, you know, we got plenty of equipment now, you know. Just put yourself in the right position so something fluky doesn't happen. But other than that, you know, it'll hopefully just be a bruise and a battle wound and come back to the bench and the guys all tackle you because you made a great block or, you know, a great clear out of the zone or take a hit to get the red line to dump it in. There's a lot of little plays that go unnoticed as far as stats go, but we're really looking for those huge plays, you know, those little plays that make big impacts at this point in the season.
Right.
And I think the guys, yeah, you're right, the guys are feeding off. So, you know, our goals, we've been celebrating to the bench. We haven't been going to the crowd. It's nice to see. Just really proud of our group so far here.
What does that mean, Coach? Because I think Coach Jackson of Marblehead mentioned that when he was doing a game with us recently, going to the crowd after a goal, but rather the kids come back to the bench. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's something we've tried to start a couple of years. You know, obviously if the fans are right there and the emotions are running high, but, I mean, Paul Nichols in game one has a blast. He sprints to the bench, jumps on the bench. You know, mm-hmm. Two of our three goals last game, you know, happen to be somewhat close to our bench, and the guys come and jump on. I mean, it's kind of like the old Dean Smith thing in basketball. You know, you pass to me, they immediately pointed to the guy who gave him the assist. It just builds more, you know, of a team aspect instead mm-hmm. of a me aspect. I mean, our guys are just, they're all in right now.
Last Tuesday,
it's really nice to see for young guys acting that way.
Before your game last Tuesday, I watched the Gloucester game against Wakefield, and I don't know how to ask the question, but it seemed as though with Connor Vitanz on defense, rather in goal, playing, I think he stopped 44 shots or something like that, which is crazy. But that seemed to ignite the offense. I don't know if that's possible if I'm asking the right question, but he was so good on defense that it seemed that Wakefield sometimes they had so many shots on that maybe they were caught up ice, you know, as soon as the save was made and allowed Gloucester to get these two on ones. Does it work that way sometimes?
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it kind of changes momentum a little bit. I think sometimes opposing offense can get a little frustrated, and all of a sudden they start pressing too hard and gripping it too tight and just not executing how they would, and all of a sudden there's a turnover. You're right, they're going up the other end. Speaking of Vitanz, I thought, honestly, he was probably one of the top two goalies we saw all year. We didn't even know it at the time because he was, you know, the first game of the year.
Right.
We knew he was good, but we didn't know he was going to be one of the top few we saw all year, first game of the season. So, yeah, hats off to him and the Gloucester squad. They had a great run.
He stopped 51 shots against Lincoln Sudbury the other night.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I was following that game on Twitter after our game. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, it was just back and forth.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Forth.
Great game. Great game. Awesome. Listen, now Triton, speaking of familiarity, Triton's not a team that you don't know anything about. And they know all about you, too. Should be a great crowd. And what are you anticipating from them?
I'm anticipating a close game, that's for sure. Probably a one-goal game here or there. You know, they got three full lines. They got four very good defensemen. You know, they're one of these, you know, I feel like every team that's around now has three good lines and four really good D, with the depth factor to get to this point. There's, you know, a scoring line can get you here, but, you know, you need those couple other lines to back you up and provide secondary scoring. Because everyone knows the top players at this point. So, you know what guys you want to key in on, but, sometimes it's, you know, it's those second, third line guys that really step up. Like for us in the first game, we had, you know, two goals from our third line against Stoneham. So, you know, we know all three of their lines are fast and physical, and, you know, I think they know who, you know, all our guys' strengths and weaknesses at this point. So it's just going to be a matter of execution and, you know, finishing the details out.
Final question, Coach. What's this say about the Cape Ann League? Because You know, I remember going into the tournament, everybody was saying, well, Merrimack Valley and, you know, all this other stuff, Division II is loaded, but here you guys are at the top, you know, with one more game to go.
Yeah, I mean, two NBC, two Cal, you know, four Cal teams made it in, and two are still alive, so I think it's a testament. You know, sometimes I think we get the short end just because we're a smaller conference, but I've, you know, hats off to Trayton. I mean, they've made this game 2 years in a row now. So,
yep.
You know, they're going to be well seasoned and ready to go, and we're going to want revenge after last year. You know, two regular season wins this year don't mean anything.
Right.
It doesn't go well tomorrow for us. So, yeah, it's nice to see for our league for sure.
Yeah, I meant to say Middlesex League. I think I said Merrimack Valley. Coach, final question. Good turnout by the student body and by the Masco fans.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, the Red Sea was flowing last game. So hopefully it's even bigger. You know, we'll have to call it the Red Ocean soon or something. I don't know, but we've had great support, which is really nice, and it's a testament to our guys. You know. People see the effort, and they're good citizens and good students in school, so people aren't going to come out and watch jerks. So our guys are good guys in school, so they earned it.
Glad to hear it. Well spoken, Coach. Well, good luck tomorrow night, and we're going to talk next week no matter what, because we just need to. Coach, thank you so much for taking the time tonight. I appreciate it, and get a good night's sleep.
Will do. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Take care,
Thanks, Coach. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Coach Andrew Jackson of Masconomen High School. They have made it to, and we're going to talk with Coach Sheehan next. Well, not next, but later on, the Triton coach. They finished, I think they were 1-2. I'm not sure they were the first two seeds. You can check out on our website, but I know they were at least 1-3 because Gloucester was 4. So they had to be either the second seed. Lincoln Sudbury was the second seed.
Second seed.
So Triton was third. And here they are fighting on their bracket, and Lincoln Sudbury is playing D2 North Finals on the other bracket, and then next Monday's the championship game at Lowell. And I really wanted to go tomorrow night and do the game, at least cover the game, and I can't do it. So I'll be following on Twitter as well.
You know, we mentioned Vitanz in the goal, you know, making 51 saves against Lincoln Sudbury. I also wanted to...
So that's 95 saves in two games.
This kid whose arm's got to be tired. Also want to congratulate senior E.J. Fields and sophomore Jack Costanzo. They went for 7 points combined in the game against Lincoln Sudbury. And I had a chance to talk to Jack this morning in the hallways, and he was just saying, he says, they were so big. And he's a little guy.
Yeah.
But he is probably one of the top two or three players in the Northeastern Conference, and if not in the entire region. He is tremendously gifted. He is fast. He has great hands, great stick work, and he just has a nose for the puck. And when he finds it, he knows what to do with it. Same thing with EJ Fields. EJ just really just exploded this year. I think he's had a great career, but he really exploded. He became a 100-point scorer in the Gloucester program this season. And talk about finishing up strong. He did that, and the program looks like it's going to be solid for the next few years. And that goes to the basketball team as well. They lost a hard game to, I think it was Boston Latin, with the number two seed in a division. And Marcus Montanino put up 25 points against a very, very good squad. And we'll see where he takes his game next year. I can't believe how much he's actually grown in the last year. Because all of a sudden he's towering over me, and I'm thinking, geez, it wasn't like that a year or so ago.
And that doesn't bode well for the rest of the conference.
No, and in fact, they've got a couple of outstanding freshmen and a sophomore coming back next year. So Chris Silvera's basketball program looks like it's set for the near future as well.
Swampscott continues in the Division III North Hockey Tournament. They are playing tonight as we speak. Game probably close to being over. We're going to have to check Twitter to see if we can get the score. Swampscott playing Watertown. That is at Stoneham. And Swampscott was the last guy to get in. They were the 13th seed, but they did win The opener over Essex Tech, over Mark Leonard's Essex Tech team. Essex Tech seeded number four, so a terrific win for Coach Gino Fea and the boys, and they're playing tonight. The other game is Bedford and Lowell. Bedford, Lowell won that game, so it'll be Swampscott or Watertown playing Lowell at Chelmsford on the 5th. That's Wednesday, I think, or Thursday. I guess the
Thursday.
5th is Thursday, yeah. In the other bracket, it is Cambridge playing Shawsheen tonight. And, nope, that's on the 5th, too. Sorry about that.
Ouch.
And I just want to go back. What happened?
Snowboarder dies after hitting tree at Loon Mountain.
Oh, I thought I did something to you. Yeah, that,
ooh, that had
that
a hurt.
Morning. And then just going back to Division II here for a second, Lincoln Sudbury is playing North Andover tonight. That is the 7:15. Not tonight. Damn it, Moore, get with it. Tomorrow night, that's the second game. First game, Masconomet Triton, that's at Chelmsford, that's a 5 o'clock start, and then Lincoln Sudbury North Andover, that's scheduled for 7:15. So those are the D2 North semifinalists. And then the finals will be at the Songus a week from tonight. I didn't have a time on it. So there you go. And that kind of takes care of that. Okay, so...
Well, okay, in terms of Swampscott, it was 1-1 in the middle of the second period. Let's see what else I can get. So each team has scored there.
All right, why don't you track that down? We'll take a break. We'll come back with Gary, and maybe we'll have an update on that Swampscott game. Who are they playing? I just lost that already. My God. Oh, my Lord.
Watertown.
All right. So we'll take a break, and then later on we'll be talking with Ryan Sheehan, who is the Triton hockey coach. And we'll catch up with him. And also Mike Grenier. Going to talk some Celtics basketball in just a while as well. So stay with us. We'll be back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever you plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
The North Shore is listening to msonewsports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hey, this is Matt Williams from the Salem News. Make sure that you listen to our weekly high school sports podcast where you can get all the news and happenings in the North Shore high school sports and beyond with myself, Phil Stacey, Bill Newell, and Nick Giannino.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore.
Alrighty, we're back now with Gary Larrabee. And Gary, got to be pleased with this weather. It's golf, almost golf season. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. The sun's out, and we're getting a lot of sunshine, and the turf is getting through the winter better and better, and we're hoping this potential storm this weekend doesn't throw us off too much, but we're all getting very, very excited about the 2020 golf season on the North Shore.
I don't think the grass, the ground ever froze this year. I mean, it might have for a day or two, but pretty. I mean, I still see green out there.
Well, the grass is in great shape. The turf's in great shape from what I've learned from talking to some of the golf course superintendents and hereabouts. And We just have to keep our fingers crossed that the month of March doesn't get too mean and nasty to us.
You know, Gary, that's the history of spring in New England. You can get a February thaw, but then March reminds you that we still have winter left. I know from my experience coaching baseball, you know, many times we spent the first 1 or 2 weeks in the gym because, you know, March came roaring back at us.
Yeah, that's common. That's a very common scenario. But let's hope for the best this time around. And we obviously have so much to look forward to. And of course, Tim, I'm sure you were impressed with the international flavor of our champions yesterday on the tours. You know, South Korean went on the main tour, the Honda Classic down in Florida, and that German guy that we've been watching win. I think he just won his 41st Champions Tour event. Bernhard Langer won again down there at the age of 63, I believe. And where are all the Americans? Where the heck are they this weekend?
Well, obviously, they decided to take the weekend off. But, you know, I was talking to Rick earlier when we glanced through your memo for tonight. And Langer is just such a consistent golfer. Not only his game, but his demeanor on the golf course, things just don't seem to affect him. And he gets in a groove, and he just stays so locked in, so focused. And that obviously, you know, translated into victories not only on the regular tour, but especially here on the senior tour.
And it's obviously served as a very big advantage psychologically, mentally, over a lot of the players he's competing against. He played very well at Salem, in fact, back at the Senior Open in 2017. Came in the favorite, but didn't get it going on the greens. Of course, as you remember that Senior Open, the scores went very low, and Langer surprisingly could not get him very low. But he had a very good weekend, winning out in Arizona, and the old man can still do it. He still got the magic, and I'm not surprised. A fabulous iron player. That's really the stands out most in his game, I think. Big advantage over the others, is in addition to his psychological makeup. And we'll see how that continues. Because this week we got the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill in Orlando. And Rob Oppenheim is in the field. Andover bred, Salem-born. So we're going to have an interesting week. Watching Rob's, I don't think Rob has played in that tournament because he missed the cut this past weekend at the Honda. Did not play well, but a new week, Tim, and a new challenge, and we'll see how Rob does this week.
Yeah, you know, I went looking for the scores to see how he made out. There were bigger names missing the cut than there were guys that actually finished the four rounds. As I was looking through the list. Furyk, plus six. Keegan Bradley, plus six. Justin Rose, plus six. Patrick Harrington, plus six. Rob Oppenheimer, plus six. So he was in great company, even though he missed the cut. And then you go further down, and you got Vijay Singh. You've got Brooks Koepka. He beat those guys. You know, you didn't make the cut, but you played better than these long-established pros. So he's got to look at that and go, okay, I didn't play as bad as I played. I didn't play all that bad. Because these guys were right with me.
Of course, you saw that the winning score was 6 under par, which is like an aberration out on the tour these days.
Yes.
And 15, 20, 25 under par might win. But this is a course, the PGA National course, that Jack Nicklaus has done some work on. The scores were high.
Gary, I have to say, I like that because that means it's a competitive course. These guys have to make some shots. They just can't get out there and beat the ball to death. And, you're on a par five, you're on two. There's no plan for the shot. It's all straight. And put some challenge into the courses because as good as these guys are, they should be able to play with more challenges in front of them.
And of course, you don't have an eye on between now and the Masters coming up, and then the Tournament Players Championship.
On the board for ages, Gary.
I can't remember the last time he was on the board. Another example, guys, of anyone can win any week out there. It's not always a big-name player, and we'll see how that evolves. One more item of note, though, sharing some confidential information, but we are in the process of putting together our Massachusetts Golf Hall of Fame induction class for 2020. And I am pleased to report that one of the finalists for the for the hall is an Ipswich native, Dick Haskell, who was a longtime executive director of the Mass Golf Association, really brought the Mass Golf Association into the modern era. Dick passed away several years ago, but he is one of the finalists to be who may be elected to the hall. We sure hope he makes it. An Ipswich boy who made good at Sports Illustrated, then at the Mass Golf Association, who was a member, a longtime member at the Country Club in his prime days in the Massachusetts golf scene.
Gary, will you be among those nominated for your contribution to the game of golf in the New England area?
I'm not a nominee this year, but you never know what will happen down the road. They may really get crazy, and they may throw my name out there every once in a while. But right now, we're looking for and hoping that Dick may be named this year, and we'll see how the final vote is.
Sounds good. We're going to be talking with Mike Grenier in just a little while, Gary. Like to get Mike on every few weeks, talk about the Celtics. Have you watched any games lately?
Well, I think we've learned that the Celtics can win without
Kemba.
Players, teammates who like to play the entire fourth quarter of the All-Star game in a very selfish way and then sit out the next five games.
Yep.
When the team resumes their NBA schedule, which is what Kemba Walker has done. And they say he may be ready to play tomorrow night against, I think it's Brooklyn. But obviously what we've seen from Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown the last week or so, especially on the road, and again in that fabulous game Saturday night where they lost by 1 point in overtime to Houston at TD Garden. It gives us an awful lot of hope that they can just stay healthy and keep playing reasonably well. They're tied in the loss column with Toronto for the best record in the second best record in the East, and the key is they can get that best record in their division, beat out Toronto for the second best record in the conference. They won't have to play Milwaukee till the conference final, but that's still looking a long ways down the road. But you have to have some optimism, guys, no question about it.
Absolutely. Oh. Listen, one more quick question. This is a trivia question for both of you. Phil Stacey, guys, tweeted out the top 10 basketball playoff wins by school in the area, not including the Lynn schools, okay? So who do you think is number one?
Salem
with 60 wins is number one. Who do you think is number five?
Maybe Danvers.
Danvers, correct. That is it. And they don't include number four, St. John's Prep. So 60 wins for the Witches, 41 wins for Ipswich, 37 for Fenwick, 34 for the Prep, 32 for the Falcons, 32 for Swampscott, 29 for Hamilton Wenham, 24 for Beverly, 22 for Marblehead, and 14 for Peabody. That from Phil Stacey. So, boy, I'll tell you. Good trivia stuff. 60 wins for Salem.
I did see the list earlier. That's why I knew it was Salem.
Salem was a state powerhouse for many, many years back in the earliest days of the Tech tourney, starting in 1926 when Glenn O'Brien coached them. But
Glenn O'Brien.
Of course, they've had those great teams with state championship teams with Scooney Penn and Rick Brunson. And that's like 10 wins or 12 wins right there.
Yeah.
Gary, were you covering the 26 tournament?
I was a sparkle in my father's eye, who was, I think, 9 years old at the time. Sparkling his eye at the end. Who knows?
Okay. All right, Gary. Thanks a lot. We do appreciate it as always, and we'll do it again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, again. Take care.
Gary Larrabee, sports writer, golf, sports historian, golf writer, and a tremendous supporter of high school athletics in the area over the many years. Appreciate it. All right, take a break. Hope to come back with Ryan Sheehan, who is the Triton High School hockey coach, here in just a minute. Good Lord willing, the crick don't rise. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
We're back now with Triton High School hockey coach Ryan Sheehan. And coach, welcome back to MSO and congratulations. Big game tomorrow, but you've weathered the storm with a few games so far.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. We played Winthrop and we played Wilmington, won 1-0 and 3-2 in both, you know, pretty tight games. And, you know, we're playing pretty well right now, which is a good time of the year to be playing well. So
I want to talk about your guys, of course, Ryan. We haven't talked with you that much this year. But first, we just got through talking with Coach Jackson a little while ago.
So for a fee, we'll let you know what he said.
he didn't give anything away. Sorry.
No, he doesn't.
Well, I don't think there's anything you guys don't know about each other.
We see each other a bit.
There you go. Comment on the league in general first, Ryan, because I know when we have Coach Jackson of Marblehead, former Coach Jackson, did some games with us this year, and he was mentioning how, you know, in the seeding, anybody from 1 to 13 probably could have won this thing, and he was mentioning how strong, you know, the Middlesex League is and so on. But here you guys are the semifinalists, you and Masco, and you're stuck in the same bracket. But what does it say about the league and the preparation that you guys had going into the tournament?
The league's always good. I mean, we you know, Linfield's always a tough one. Newburyport's always a tough one, a rivalry for us. Masco has definitely had our number, and that's a tough one. Four out of the seven teams are at, you know, you're in for a dogfight every night, so, and you play them twice. So, you know, I think it prepares us pretty well.
And then you played a tough out-of-league schedule as well. You know, looking at the scores in the tournament and so on, and even Masco's, Masco didn't run over anybody big, but, you know, in terms of a score, but their defense is strong and they've been very opportunistic, and obviously they're a good skating team. Are you guys similar? Because I haven't seen you guys play. Tell me a little bit about the style of your play.
Similar. I think both teams, you know, it's cliche, but both teams like to play fast. You know, they have Tucker, the goalie. He's, you know, I've been coaching at Triton for 4 years, and he's been the starting goalie at Masco for 4 years. So he's done very well against us. And, you know, they're very well structured in their zone. You know, their power play is a threat, and they know how to get through the neutral zone and score off the rush. So, you know, we're more of a, I think we are more of a little, a puck possession team. You know, we like to just get it low and just hammer you down low as much as possible. And we get a couple of good defensemen that, you know, can help out with the offense. So, you know, fairly similar.
Ryan, tell us about your leaders, because again, we haven't had a chance to talk to you very much this year, but tell me, who are your main guys, maybe your captains and your leaders, up front,
yeah,
and in the back?
We have a really good group of seniors. Tyler Godfrey, who's been, he's been pretty much a number one defenseman since his freshman year. And, you know, just a rock, you know, he's day in and day out, every practice he brings it. He doesn't say a ton, but he leads, you know, by example. You know, Connor Cohan, another defenseman, you know, he can skate, he can pull away from people off the rush. He's playing strong in our own. And then Brady Lindholm, another defenseman who plays with Tyler, and the two of them, I think, move it, you know, just as good as anyone that I've seen this year. And up front, we have Connor's brother, Kale, who's our, you know, first line center. He's nifty. He can shoot the puck a little bit. James Tatro is, you know, an all league player for us. Had a lot of goals. You know, he improved, you know, dramatically, you know, from last season to this season. He was on our top line last year too. So, you know, a lot of these guys have played in these big games before, and I think that helps.
A key must be your defensive play of everybody. So when your forwards are in the offensive zone, I'm guessing due to the low scores that you guys have, you know, goals against, they get back pretty quickly. They backcheck well.
Oh yeah, they absolutely backcheck well, and the D does a really good job of weathering the storm and being patient with it as much as possible and getting it up to guys in space with speed. So. You know, our D core has been very strong for us.
And the other thing too, Ryan, special teams, you know, for some teams it's a minus, for other teams it's a plus. But you guys, when you end up on top, it's got to be a plus. So tell me about how that your special teams go. These two-minute penalties, I think, are awfully long in high school.
Oh, yeah, they're always, yeah, 15-minute periods, they do feel long, you know. but I actually didn't mention another senior, Brad Killian. The other coaches say you can't game plan for Brad Killian because he's just, he's going to carry guys to the net. He's going to just battle on the wall. He's been fantastic for us. But, as far as the penalty kill goes, you know, those two guys do a fantastic job. A lot of the times I'm like, geez, they're playing in the offensive zone quite a bit on the kill. And I'm like, let it happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep it as far away from your net as possible. And then the power play is pretty much our defense do a really good job of moving it and getting it to the weak side where there's a little bit more space fairly quickly and efficiently, and they get pucks through and the forwards do a good job of possessing it as much as possible and, like I said, create space and time.
I don't know. I'm wondering how the parking controversy is going at Triton High School. Have the kids won that battle?
What is it?
I don't know if you know about it. There's a movement at Triton High School among the kids. I think it's a junior class that's taking the lead to do away with the parking fee. I guess the kids have to pay a dollar to park every day.
So I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so they're not, and they use Masco and they use Newburyport as, and I think maybe Pawtucket as, when they went to the school committee saying, hey, these guys don't have to pay parking, why should we? But that's another story. Tell me about the rivalry with you guys in Masconomet, because you've had some battles, and this is the big one tomorrow night.
Yep, like I said, I think I've been at Triton. This is my fourth year, and Masco was really good 4 years ago, and they're still really good today. And we played them three times my first year here. We played them twice my second year, and then three times last year, and then we're going to play them three times this year. So
yikes.
We're pretty much, it's the most familiar team that we'll play. And every game, none of them have been real blowouts, but, every game is up and down, fast paced. Crazy bounces, that type of stuff happens, and especially happens in the tournament. So you just got to kind of weather the storm and see what happens.
What's the message to the kids finally, Ryan, in terms of enjoying the game, enjoying the tournament? Because these games, I think the kids are playing before crowds bigger than they've ever seen, for the most part, unless it's been in the state tournament before. But also you have to keep your focus. But it sure is, it is fun to see people rooting on these teams.
Yeah, we always say, when we first go in the locker room and say, right when you step on the ice, take a look up in the crowd, see, it's different, it'll be louder, it'll be, enjoy it, but that's when you start to, feel your feet, feel your hands, and then let that stuff go and just play our game like we have all year.
Sounds good. Coach, I wish I could get up there tomorrow night. I can't, but I'd like to talk to you next week. We'll see what happens. And in the meantime, congratulations.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Ryan. Take care.
Good luck, Coach.
That is Ryan Sheehan, who was the hanger, who was the Triton High School coach, and doggone it, I wanted to go to that game. I was going to try to broadcast it, and Nate cleared the way for us at the MIAA, Nate Bono, but can't do it. I can't get there tomorrow night. At any rate, if you want to take in a good game, the price is worth it. A doubleheader tomorrow at Chelmsford Forum, Division II semifinals. Going to be a terrific, terrific take for both of those games. So, by all means, do so. All right, Mike Grenier coming up next, and we'll be right back. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Poproski. Bill Newell, you know what? Maybe we can check in him with a few minutes here before. Well, no, we'll talk to Mike first, then we'll check in with Bill. So, stay tuned. Still plenty more action to go here on North Shore Sports. Now, going to go a little bit long.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of Cape Ann Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, capeannsavings.bank.
Member FDIC, member DIC. EIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
Alrighty then, we're back with sports writer Mike Grenier, who is our expert at looking at the Boston Celtics. Hey, Mike, welcome back.
Oh, always nice to be back. It's hard to believe we're three quarters of the way through the NBA season.
I know. It just goes so fast. But what an enjoyable season so far.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, even without Kemba Walker the last five games, for the Celtics to play a phenomenal game against the Lakers in Los Angeles, and then the Saturday night on national TV against the Houston Rockets, lose by a point in overtime. They did themselves well. I have to believe they would have won both of those games had Kemba Walker been available.
You know, I listen to sports radio, which I don't ordinarily do, and over the weekend, and somebody brought up a point that was actually a pretty darn good one that I hadn't quite put in perspective. But they were mentioning, and I know you already know this, and so do you, Tim, but they were talking about, they brought up the maturation and the stellar play of both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And they mentioned how Kemba has sort of not only just allowed them to blossom, but has helped them blossom versus what happened last year.
No, I saw Kemba Walker interviewed earlier tonight and basically saying that, in other words, like he loves the seeing the growth and maturation of both of those young guys. And he doesn't mind not taking the big shot in the big moments, whereas Kyrie Irving a year ago was looking to take that big shot in the final 5 minutes of the game. He owned the basketball, let's say, in the last 5 minutes of the game. Kemba doesn't mind sharing the ball and sharing the credit. I think they really missed Kemba Walker against the Lakers, against quality teams such as the Lakers and the Houston Rockets. They really missed the dynamics of what he gives them on offense. And I really believe that, they lost both of those games because Kemba was, he only lost by a total of 3 points against two of the best teams in the league, the Lakers and the Rockets, and I have to think that Kemba would have made a difference because, as we've seen, Rick, I think what happens when Kemba Walker's not there is you're bringing a valuable piece off the bench, Marcus Smart, he becomes the starter,
yeah,
and that, in effect, really decimates the bench. They are just getting, oh, the bench has not been productive, and that's a worry as we head towards the playoffs.
But on the plus side, Mike, the thing I like about this team is that unlike Ree, in my opinion, this team, these professional athletes who are multimillionaires, they enjoy playing the game just to play it.
Oh yeah, I think we've seen that this year. I think I've mentioned this, Rick. I mean, going to a lot of games last year, being around the locker room. And being around a locker room this season, there's a distinct difference in terms of general a mood of more. It's just a much happier mood around the building, in that locker room, in the corridors after the game, in the press conferences after the game. It's a much more relaxed and less tense atmosphere this season than it was a year ago.
You know, one of the things you guys just mentioned, the more relaxed attitude of the team that's missing from a year ago. We're always saying they were playing on edge just because of Kyrie's attitude and Kemba's willingness to spread the ball around and trust his teammates that that they can take a shot, that he has confidence in them. An interesting note that I heard today is that the Celts right now, because of the level of play that he's been at for the last couple of weeks, they're tailoring their offense for Jason Tatum.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think Tim, what we've seen, it's great to hear your voice, by the way.
Thank you, buddy.
It's great to see even the confidence level that Jason Tatum has had since he was selected to the All-Star game. It seems to me that, like, in the games now, he wants to take those big shots. They look for him to take those big shots. But on the other hand, we know that Jaylen Brown can convert big shots. We know that Gordon Hayward can convert big shots. We know that even Daniel Tice could get you an offensive rebound and convert a big shot. So, but yeah, Tatum is just, his confidence has grown by leaps and bounds. And we saw a great interview I saw with Jaylen Brown a few days ago saying Tatum's becoming a superstar and we have to go with the flow and go and try to make him even better. So that shows you kind of the positive attitude that Jaylen Brown has about that. Whereas a year ago, he made not so subtle comments about Kyrie Irving not being a leader. I mean, there was a tremendous difference between the kind of statements that Jaylen Brown made a year ago as opposed to the kind of statements he's making this season.
Wasn't there also a little bit of, I'm not going to say animosity, but a little bit of jealousy between Tatum and
Kyrie?
Brown last year. Over playing time and just as Tatum was beginning to emerge, Brown felt a little overshadowed.
I think Brown, the way I interpreted it, Tim, the games I went to and in any interviews I saw, I interpreted Jaylen Brown being a little quite resentful of Kyrie Irving, and not so much really any differences with Jason Tatum, as he was resentful of Kyrie Irving and Kyrie Irving wanting to be the man. And also, when he was the man and he scored, Kyrie's world was fine. But when Kyrie was the man and he didn't score the big baskets, he made everyone around him miserable. I think we saw that on numerous occasions last year. That's just not happening this year. If Kemba Walker misses the last second shot, they just tap each other on the shoulder. Hey, okay, we'll get him next game. And that's kind of the way it's been approached all year. And you know what, guys? I think we should talk a little bit about positioning for the playoffs, because right now the Toronto Raptors have had a fabulous year. They're only a half a game ahead of the Celtics. And to me, if the Celtics can get that second seed, right, Tim, it's a whole different ballgame. Because if you get that second seed, you're facing either the Orlando Magic or the Brooklyn Nets in that first round. Both of those teams have a losing record. And you'd be facing like a Toronto in a second round, and you wouldn't have to face the Milwaukee Bucks, who are currently 52-8. You wouldn't face them until the conference final. So I think it's of paramount importance for the Celtics to play and try to get that second seed.
Well, you know, they're certainly playing as if that is their if that is their goal. They've got to get some help from other teams around the league when they play Toronto to put some more L's in that column. And the Celtics have to remain focused on winning their games one at a time. You can't look too far down the road because you lose sight of the bump in the road that's in front of you, known as the next game.
That's right.
And you know, to go one game at a time, which it appears that they have done all this season, is the plan. And you got to believe, you know, Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens are well aware of that. And even Brad Stevens' growth as a coach, and he's weathered some criticism over the last couple of years,
sure.
Especially last year. But again, you're a relatively young coach, and you got a guy coming in that only wants to play meatball.
Yep.
You know, and the best thing that happened to this team was getting him out of town.
That's right. That's right. And I think Brad Stevens is managing the injuries, which have been. They haven't been, like, obviously season-ending injuries, but the way he's managing injuries from game to game and week to week, and having to do without Kemba Walker for five games, having to do without Jason Tatum for a couple games, having to do without Jaylen Brown for a couple games. He's done a heck of a job of integrating the other personnel into the starting lineup and then making sure that his key guys are back when they are back, like when we're talking Brown and Tatum and Kemba. He wants them back at 100% rather than at 75%, where they get injured two games later and have to miss another four games. I think he's done a heck of a job of managing the injuries this year and trying to maximize the team's potential every single night.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that, you know, you mentioned earlier the criticism of the fact that they don't have a deep, capable bench. I look at it with Brad Stevens is what he's done is he hasn't asked any of those guys to go beyond what they can give him, and he rotates that bench in and out to give the guys time, to give the guys minutes, to allow them to make contributions, but he doesn't seem to be taxing them, you know, putting too much on their shoulders, like that they have to overperform, which is where you get into trouble where guys think, oh, I've got to perform, I've got to make points, I've got to get rebounds, I've got to throw up shots. No, you've got to play within the system, you've got to take what's given, you got to run the floor, you got to go bang for rebounds, do that, and when you get a little winded, I'm going to put somebody in there who's going to take your place and give me another 3 or 4 minutes. So he's working to get these guys involved, working them to get into a comfortable flow, but he's not exhausting them at the same time.
You make a great point there, too. I think what you're saying is he does not want them to try to do something they can't do. I'm talking about the bench guys.
Yep.
So, therefore, when Grant Williams comes in, he's not asked to score 10 points. He's asked to rebound and defend. When Enos Kanter comes in, his strength is rebounding. So he's asked to get some offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds. We know he's not a good one-on-one defender, but when he's in there, Brad Stevens expects him to rebound, and he could also score a little. I mean, he actually scores quite a bit of points per minute. You know?
Yes, he does. I saw that stat, and it's amazing. He averages like 12 points, you know, for the time he's in there, and like 6 rebounds. But you don't see that on a nightly basis, you know, because we don't judge him on that. But again, he's that big body, and he doesn't mind just going and getting the ball and giving it to somebody who can shoot.
No, he's got a very unselfish attitude. I think that's been his mantra since he's a pro, and he's kind of brought that here to Boston. So, you know, but he hasn't played many minutes lately. I'm wondering if he's trying to play through some injuries or some minor injuries because he's been a DNP, did not play in several games lately. But I think part of that is the fact that Daniel Theis is kind of the most underrated player on that team. Theis has become a tremendous defensive player. He's shooting over 50% from the floor. He rebounds well for a guy who's under 6'9", basically. He takes on the big guys, the opposing team's big guys, defensively on a nightly basis. That guy has really probably been the most unheralded of the good Boston players. I really think he's had another growth period himself as this team has improved. I think Theis has made tremendous strides this season. But
yeah, and the thing about him is he loves to run the floor. If the ball is – somebody grabs a rebound, he's already three-quarters of the way down the floor looking for a lane to go to the hoop, and he's not afraid to go to the hoop. Kanter does have a bulky knee because I saw him go into a game, and Mike Gorman made note of the fact that he was gimpy going on the court. He gave them a few minutes, but you could tell he had limited mobility on that
right.
left leg.
And he tried to give it he gave it a shot for a couple minutes. His leg kind of gave out on him, and Brad Stevens had to take him out. But Tim, do you think we call Theis maybe a poor man's Dave Cowens in terms of running the floor? I'm not meaning an all-pro type of player, but in terms of running the floor and hustling and not really caring who scores the points, but just in terms of hustle and playing smart and giving his all, he's sort of a poor man's Dave Cowens.
Well, I'll tell you, being a poor man's Dave Cowens is still a great compliment. You know, for those of us who had the great pleasure to watch Dave Cowens run the old garden parquet for the years that we did, because that was a motor that never shut down.
Yes. And listen, if I can bring back Kyrie Irving, we hate to bring up Kyrie Irving.
No, don't bring Kyrie. Don't ever put the words bringing Kyrie back. That just gives really bad vibes.
It's a great story. When Kyrie joined the Nets, somebody was commissioned to do a mural of Kyrie Irving right outside the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And it took, I'm told, several months for an artist to do that. A huge mural of Kyrie Irving outside the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Now, when Kyrie was declared out for the season a couple of weeks ago, they washed it away in one day.
Oh, my God. Oh, my Lordy.
They washed away the mural in one day.
Oh,
I guess
God.
Kyrie has a lot of – he has some redemption in mind next year if he wants to regain the faith of the artists as well as the fans.
Well, let's leave it at that, Mike. I had a lot more to talk about. Appreciate it. We're going to check in probably in just a couple of weeks. The season is headed down – you know, it's heading into the home stretch now, so we got to get you on more.
Well, let's hope at that point that the Celtics are in second place ahead of the Toronto Raptors.
All right, we'll check in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
All righty, that's Mike Grenier, who is sports writer emeritus, I guess. And I just wanted to mention, I think we'll save it for later, the double double that Jason Tatum has been averaging, plus the unselfishness. Tim, you and I can just bat it around for a second. You know, you talked about the unselfishness, but you go back to me, the greatest basketball player of all time, Bill Russell, Larry Bird, and guys of that ilk. And although they wouldn't shy away from making the last shot or making the big play or wanting to do that, they still recognized, I think you mentioned it, trust in teammates. And the idea is when you play with a guy like that, that guy makes the other guys better. And I hate to say it again, but Kyrie didn't do that, and Kemba is.
Well, I think Kyrie's game suffered while he was in Cleveland, because for him it became a competition with LeBron James of who was going to be the best player on that team.
Good point.
And he had something to prove, mm-hmm. that I'm as good as LeBron. I can score as well as LeBron can score. And then he had to go find his own team to be LeBron, mm-hmm. on. And he came to Boston, and he played well.
He's
early on.
Good talent.
Yeah. And then he got hurt, and because he is talented. And the Celtics found, we don't need Kyrie. And Kyrie came back last year, and again with even a more intense attitude of proving himself that he was the player, that he should be taking the shots, and it severely impacted the success of the team that the Celts had. It severely impacted the chemistry that the team had developed while Kyrie was away with his injury. The Celtics found out just how good a team they had without him, and they're showing it again this year. And, you know, they've missed Kemba Walker for stretches, and he certainly has added an aspect of stability, an aspect of maturity to the team. He has instilled a confidence in this team that was lacking last year, and he has star name. You know, he is a proven commodity in the league, and yet he subjugates his game for the good of the team.
All right, we've gone quite long. Let's see if we can get one quick report from Bill Newell. We'll check it out here in just a second.
Well, you call him. I don't want to call him.
We'll be right back. Uh-oh. I hit the wrong thing. Uh-oh. All right, let's try it again. Try hitting this one.
You know, at some point.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, Bill's busy right now. I'm gathering the game is probably reports and getting videos for a post that he'll be putting up later on this evening. So that's it for now. Big games coming up for the rest of the week. And by golly, just check out the website, and we'll have all those scores up there with features as well. And don't forget, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, it's Connections. Really big shoe tomorrow. Talking about the Super Tuesday, we'll be chatting with the Gloucester Democrat chair. We're going to be talking with the policy director of the Young Democrats, Reverend Vern Walker, out of Boston. And we've got some other surprises as well tomorrow at 10 o'clock on Connections here on MSO. Coach, thank you.
You're welcome, Brett.
I appreciate it. And don't forget, we got the beer pod coming up, another beer pod during our Connections very soon. So
this time with a live tasting.
A live tasting.
We're going to be talking stouts, and so we're going to do a live tasting.
I can't wait. Whoa, alrighty then. That's Tim Kearns. Our producer and engineer is Bill Proposky, and of course our director is Bill Newell. I'm Rick Moore. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.
Bill sent me a note.